Hey, what's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about the plus in LGBTQ plus. And this is June 1st. This is the advent of Pride Month. And I've been seeing some really good posts from my brethren. I've been seeing so much more traffic on the internet combating this pernicious problem. Keep it up. I believe that we are winning the cultural war. And that's all I'll say about that. Just keep it up. One thing that I saw that I wanted to share with you before I get into how we normally do our podcast format, I saw a post about a challenge. Can you go to Scripture and find any Scripture whatsoever where pride is talked about in a positive way when it comes to human pride? Now, I put forth to you that Paul talks about godly pride, but that is actually a pride outside of oneself. I have a godly pride in my ability to preach the gospel. I have a godly pride in my ability to study the Bible and disseminate the information that I garner from such. I have a godly pride in the work that I'm doing in Canada. I have a godly pride about all of that. I understand it's not me, that if it weren't for the Lord, if it weren't for the road that was paved ahead of me, I wouldn't be anything. I'm just a turtle on a fence post. I didn't get there by myself. It's the idea. Anyway, that's all I want to say about that. Never is it a good thing in the Bible to talk about the pride of man. In fact, we could say a lot about the pride of life, as in 1 John chapter 2, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The pride that is running rampant in this culture today is the pride of life. It's the pride that thinks, I've done all of this on my own, and I don't need anybody or anything. I'm a self-made individual, and I can control my own world. I'm the god of my own world. And that goes all the way back to Daniel chapter 4 with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had an eye problem. He was myopic. He definitely had an eye problem. I did this. I did that. I built this kingdom. I'm a powerful king. And God told Daniel, you're going to go to Nebuchadnezzar and tell him that he's got a lesson to learn. And the lesson that Nebuchadnezzar had to learn is that God rules in the kingdom of men and sets up even the basest of men to rule the nations. Nebuchadnezzar was there because God decreed and deemed it to be so. Anyway, on your screen is a couple of QR codes, both of which takes you to www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now. I did not realize that Buy Me a Coffee was a platform that had a social bend to it. In other words, I can make posts and stuff like that. And if you will go to Buy Me a Coffee, I think if you buy me a coffee on that, it's $5. You will be considered a supporter on Buy Me a Coffee, and your email will be entered. And so anytime I make a post or an announcement, that is a good way to have an email list, and you'll be able to know what we're doing, and you'll be getting the emails. You can also have that happen on Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you can go to www.patreon.com, and your contact information will be associated with my Patreon account, our Patreon account, I should say. It's me and Aaron Dotson. And every time we make a post or make an announcement, you'll get pinged with an email. So either one of those is a good way to stay in touch with us, to keep up on announcements. It's just one is a one-time donation, and the other is a recurring monthly amount. And you can edit that recurring monthly amount to any dollar amount you'd like. And that supports us as podcasters. This is something that Aaron Dotson and myself are doing. It is akin to secular work. It's akin to having a second job. So anyway, that's all I'm saying here. God bless you. Thank you so much for your consideration of support. And I'm going to take these QR codes down off the screen. Now, let's get into this article. Y'all, Jack Wilkie at Church Reset has done it again. Incidentally, you can go read all of the articles from Jack Wilkie and Church Reset at the Church Reset Substack. The link is in the show notes. Now, let's read this. This is from the Church Reset Substack by Jack Wilkie. Title, What the Plus in LGBTQ Plus Stands For. They won't say it, but first it was just the L and the G. Then the B and T got tacked on, and LGBT became the dominant shorthand for all aberrant sexual and gender identities. But in the name of inclusivity, gradually the acronym got longer to the point where occasionally you'll see something like LGBTQIA2S. I remember headlines about some nutcase college professor saying there were actually dozens of possible different identity initials, and people could become combinations of any of them. However, in recent times, the all-encompassing acronym they've settled on seems to be LGBTQ+. They say the plus stands for the inclusion of any and all other identities who wish to include themselves. I'm here to tell you the plus stands for pedophilia. No, I'm not saying everyone who claims one of the letters is a pedophile. Rather, I'm saying the entire community is suspiciously not bothered by the sexualization of children, and in fact is actively opening the door to its acceptance. Their argumentation makes it inevitable. Love is love, and I was born this way, have long been their shields against any questioning. Guess what else those answers can be given to cover for? And if you think that's an unfair stretch, ask yourself why they're already making moves to extend born this way status to pedophiles under the euphemistic term youth attracted person. Some other questions to ask while we're at it. Why don't they distance themselves from the barbarism of puberty blockers and gender affirming care for children? Look up the kinds of things they do to kids in the name of gender-affirming care. It's horrifying. Yet very few from the community will stand against it, and it sets the table for the idea of child consent. Similarly, why don't they distance themselves from Harvey Milk? Milk was the first openly gay elected official in California and was also credibly accused of grooming and statutory rape. If the LGBT plus community were interested in making it clear they aren't targeting children, the obvious move would be to distance themselves 1,000 miles from someone as questionable as Milk. Instead, they laud him as one of their greatest heroes. The man had his own big-budget biopic starring Sean Penn, along with a USPS-issued postage stamp and a naval ship. And every May 22nd, California celebrates Harvey Milk Day. If I were part of a movement that had such a questionable figure in its past, I would want to make sure we distance ourselves as far as possible from him and the sordid allegations surrounding him. Wouldn't you? Yet they do the opposite. Why do drag queens desire an audience of children? Few things are as disturbing as the pictures that surface from Drag Queen Story Hour and family-friendly drag shows. And it's entirely unsurprising how many stories there are of wardrobe malfunctions or performer going, whoops, a little too far, with the sexualization of the event. Heterosexual adult entertainers have never lobbied for the right to enter elementary schools and perform, but for the same reason, these people insist on it. Why were they so indignant at Florida's law that made it illegal to teach kids younger than fourth grade about sex, heterosexual or otherwise? Sure seemed like a big deal to them, especially the teachers among the ranks, to retain the right to discuss sexuality with early elementary children. And I might add, they wanted to retain the right to discuss sexuality with early elementary children under the pretense of keeping it secret from the parents. Why are children allowed at pride parades? As degenerate as gentlemen's clubs are, nobody has ever thought them a suitable place for children. Yet far more degenerate activity is done in broad daylight down Main Street of countless cities each June, with children's attendance encouraged. We got there awful fast from what people do in the privacy of their bedroom is nobody's business but their own. Why did monkeypox go from a national headline to silenced overnight? Did it have anything to do with the fact that it was being spread almost exclusively through homosexual orgies? And yet suddenly children and animals were turning up with it. Why did Salon run, and later pull, an article entitled, "I am a pedophile, but not a monster"? And, as mentioned above, why have the euphemisms minor attracted person, MAP, and more recently, youth attracted person, YAP, entered the lexicon? More than 1 in 3 homosexuals claim to be victims of childhood sexual abuse, with much of that being homosexual abuse. And being a victim of abuse highly increases the likelihood of becoming a perpetrator of it. Those are heartbreaking statistics, but they should also open our eyes to the reality of the situation. Why are corporations like Disney and Target going wildly out of their way to put LGBT content in front of children at every turn? Representation and inclusion means your 4-year-old needs to learn about their way of life, because otherwise a 4-year-old would never dream of accepting any of this as normal. There is no L and G without B. B without T, and T without plus. Romans 1 shows us that it's an all-inevitable part of the same spiral away from God into self-destruction. As the slippery slope prognosticator said 15 to 20 years ago, all of the arguments made for accepting homosexuality and gay marriage port perfectly to the matter of pedophilia. If you give them "love is love" and "I can't help it, I was born this way," then they're going to pull out the same cards when it comes to children. We cannot open the door to everything we've allowed in over the last 40 years and suddenly say, whoa, this is where I draw the line. There is no returning to the 2008 era tolerance, because even if we could return, we'd quickly end up right back where we are today. So the next time you're tempted to accept a live and let live argument, or the next time a TV show starts to convince you they're really just like us, realize that's not what the Bible says, and it's not what reality shows. Having said all of that, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11 gives a beautiful hope. In it, Paul names the LGBTQ plus community in the list of the unrighteous, but follows it with, "And such were some of you." And I will add, the reason that is significant is because it's past tense. They are not that any longer. In Christ, anyone can break away from this degeneracy. There is hope in the cross. Abandon your pride and turn your eyes upon them. This being Pride Month, it's important that we meet the battle on the front lines. Next week, we'll continue with an article entitled, "It's Not Enough to Be Anti-Trans." Be sure you've subscribed to receive that and each new article when they post. Church Reset, Jack Wilkie, is a reader-supported publication. To receive new posts and support my work, consider becoming a free or paid subscriber. And I hope that every one of you at least subscribe to Jack Wilkie's Church Reset. Now, I am so thankful that we have several people in the audience in the live stream. I would hope that you would share the podcast, share the live stream, and subscribe to Cogitations at Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or TuneIn Radio. And of course, you can do that absolutely free. I archive all of the audio on those areas. Let me get back to the article here. There's something I wanted to bring out as I was reading this. Here's one. Why do drag queens desire an audience of children? And what Jack wrote, heterosexual adult entertainers have never lobbied for the right to enter elementary schools to perform, but for some reason, these people insist on it. Let me tell you what I think needs to happen on the cultural stage, and this is really abhorrent. Like, it's weird for me to say this, but I think what's going to have to happen in order to get people shook and make people understand what's going on is we need adult strippers, adult females who dance at these gentlemen's clubs, so-called, to go in to these drag queen story hours and these drag shows, and they're female, and they just need to start dancing like the drag queens. And I think then people might get it. Because they don't think about it. A man dresses up as a woman, and they wear the same kind of outfits and do the same kind of sexualized dances and take off the same level of clothes as female strippers. And I'm going to use female because if you're listening to this, you don't buy into that 2,700 genders. So when I say strippers, I'm talking about female strippers at the strip club, sex workers, and they shouldn't be that. That is abhorrent. That is anti-God. But it's almost to the point where you have to, in this society, we're going to have to see something so bad to shake us out of this and wake us up on a massive level. And I just wonder what would happen if from Dolly's go-go dancers down the road, if one of the go-go dancers, female go-go dancers, went into one of these quote-unquote family-friendly drag shows and insisted on being able to dance and do what these drag queens are doing, and all she would have to do is say, "But I'm a drag queen. I'm a man in drag." And these people's logic, there's nothing they could do to stop her according to their logic. And then maybe that would get some attention. But I don't know, because we've already seen very, very young children at these drag shows. We've seen very, very young boys dressed up as women and dancing in front of a crowd of perverted men who were putting dollars in a 10 and 11-year-old boy's G-string. When are we going to wake up? When are we as Christians going to mobilize? I love what Wilkie, I can't wait for the next article in this series, to be honest with you. It's not enough to be anti-trans. You got to be anti all of this. And I don't know where he's going to go with the article, but that's where I'm thinking. You've got to be anti all of this. A lot of people think that one of the worst things that ever happened to modern Western culture is whenever the United States codified a same-sex marriage as a right. That's not the worst thing. The worst thing was no-fault divorce, followed closely by welfare. Whenever you give a woman more money, the more children she has, you're incentivizing people to practice a hedonistic lifestyle. Think about the image of the Playboy billionaire. He lives a hedonistic lifestyle. Why? Because he has billions of dollars and he can afford to do it. Most people cannot afford a hedonistic lifestyle if they don't get outside help from somewhere. What does the government do? The government goes to the poor parts of town and says, hey, listen, if you are a husband and a wife and you have two children, you're not going to get any money. But if you're not married and your husband doesn't live in the house with you, we're going to give you food stamps. It's Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. It's called SNAP now. But we're going to give you welfare for food, for clothes. We're going to garnish your husband's paycheck, and whatever he makes, you'll get money for, or your husband's, your baby daddy's paycheck. And the more children you have, the more money the government's going to give you. So it subsidizes the man out of the home, and it teaches people to live a hedonistic lifestyle. That woman can go out and lay down with any man she chooses, and it's not going to harm her because she can either kill the baby if she doesn't want it, or she can have the baby and get more money from the government. Where if there was no welfare to be offered, then it would force people. We're going to have a husband and a wife, and we're going to rear our children, and I'm going to get up and go to work, because if I don't get up and go to work, I'm not going to eat. And the woman is going to be like, hey, I'm going to be faithful to this man. The man's going to be, I'm going to be faithful to this woman, because there's nothing we can do. And I can't go to the courthouse and divorce her, or she can't go to the courthouse and divorce me without a good reason. In fact, I've seen legislature coming up to try to get rid of no-fault divorce, and I'm happy for it. If you divorce somebody, you really need to give a good reason. The judge needs to be able to tell you can't get a divorce. But anyway, that's my point. We got to wake up. We've got to be anti every bit of this abhorrent sexual lifestyle of hedonism, and we got to go back to teaching the values that are found in God's Word. And just for Pride Month, just to think about this, listen, this is Proverbs 16, verse 18 and 19. Well, let's just read through 20. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. Listen. You may, in this environment, if you take a stance against this abhorrent sexual deviancy, you may find yourself fallen from the grace that is offered from the secular society. You may lose a job. You may be passed over for a promotion. You may be ostracized by a friend group. The Bible says it is better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You know what I'm never going to do? I'm never going to keep my mouth shut in order to be accepted by somebody. I'm never going to keep my mouth shut in order to have a promotion or to have a secular job or to have a spiritual job. I mean, I've never kept my mouth shut as a gospel preacher. I've always stood against wrong and evil where I found it. That's why it has been said that there is a wake of destruction in my path, and I am proud of that with a godly pride, because I have always done exactly what God wants me to do. And we need to all be that way. We've got to. That's the only way. And again, I don't want to sound so bad. The culture war is being won by people who at least have a morality based in the Bible. The culture war is being won. Target and Anheuser-Busch. First off, Bud Light is no longer the number one beer in the nation. Target has lost about $1 billion a day. I think they're up to $11 or $12 billion lost now. Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch has lost like 30-something billion. It is crazy. And it is all because people have finally woken up. I guess it took them getting the kids. It's sad that many of our kids had to, all of that innocent blood had to be shed for people finally to start waking up. But the issue with Target, a lot of people on the political left that were tolerant and inclusive and were saying, well, homosexuals ought to be able to get married, transgender people ought to be, and we ought to just leave them alone. But then when they went in Target, they said, wait a second, my kids are with me, and you've got this stuff in their faces, and my 8-year-old kid's with me, and I'm going to have to explain to them what all this means? And it's the quote-unquote regular people that are now taking up this mantle. And again, we're winning. We have to help. As a Christian, you can help. Influence your circle of friends. Do what you can at your job. I understand that you've got to be careful at work nowadays. And there's a time and place for everything. So I understand all that. I'm not saying just sacrifice yourself. And like if you got a job at, I think about MTD. They make mowers. They're in Martin, Tennessee, in Northwest Tennessee. I'm not saying if you're working on the line at MTD that you ought to be an activist and have a sign that says anti-homosexual. I'm not saying that. But just by the way you live, just by the way you act and speak and your mannerisms, people are going to be able to tell and they will be influenced by you. But never be afraid if you're pressed to speak up. All right, let me look at some of these comments. Mike Lizzie, good afternoon. Good to see you. Diana Harden is here. She says, you're spot on, Tony. Great points. Thank you very much. And old David Stamberski says he's at the gym. He'll watch later. Robert Leedy, it makes me sick and sad that there are some who take the rainbow, that's God's promise to not flood the entire world anymore, and they're trying to make it represent something sinful. Yes, and something I heard from one of these political pundits that I watch, he said it's ironic that God's promise not to destroy the world in a vengeful wrath anymore through water is probably going to be the thing that triggers him to come back and destroy the world by fire. Now, don't parse that theology out. I don't think that's correct theologically, but it is kind of an interesting idea. Yeah, they have taken from us the rainbow, and I'm just wondering, at the expense of having people look at us crossways, I'm just wondering, would it be a good thing for Christians to take the rainbow back? I don't know. I go back and forth on that, Robert, of whether or not it would be good to take the rainbow back. Because I know if I walked out, like in Canada, if I walked out and I was wearing, well, like you remember back in the day, Mork and Mindy with Robin Williams. Mork from Ork had these flared up wide rainbow suspenders. And if I went out and wore those same kind of suspenders in New Brunswick, well, they would either think I was an old man who was homosexual, or they would think that I am an old man who is lending my support and putting my stamp of approval on the LGBTQ+ bandwagon. But maybe if somebody come up from that community and said, hey, look, thank you for your support, old man, I'd be like, hey, I'm supporting God and his design for marriage and the family and his design for sexuality. And marriage is honorable and all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And I don't know, maybe it's worth it. Who knows? But I'm not going to say much more. I'm going to let this article kind of stand for itself. It's a really good article. Jack is proving himself in the last few years to be a really good source. I hope they don't mind me riding on the coattails here. I read a lot of his articles, and I wouldn't do it unless I thought they were good and valuable. But the link is in the show notes. I would ask that if you find any value and enjoyment out of the podcast that Aaron Dotson and myself do, that you would go to www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now for a one-time $5 donation minimum, or www.patreon.com/Christianity Now for a minimum dollar a month donation. And that doing either of those will get you on the email list, evidently. I just found this out. So if you do that, you'll be on the email list. And every time we make a post on Patreon or Buy Me a Coffee, you'll get pinged in an email. So we have announcements coming up. Just yesterday, I put a file where I did a recording of the Sermon on the Mount. I read the Sermon on the Mount, and I edited it where it didn't have any stutters or stops in it. And I'm using this where when I go walking and stuff, I can listen to it because I want to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. I've got a gospel meeting in 2025 scheduled that I'm specifically going to preach from the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to take a page. Actually, that's not true. I'm just going to plagiarize Todd Clippard. And if any of you listening to this knows Todd, you tell him that I've already said I'm going to plagiarize what he's done. Todd Clippard has memorized the Sermon on the Mount, and the first meeting of the first sermon of the meeting he did in Bay, Arkansas, all he did was recite the Sermon on the Mount and make one point and offer the invitation. And no offense, Todd, but that was probably the most powerful sermon of the entire meeting, of an entire meeting full of powerful sermons. So I'm just going to copy what you did. Anyway, my point is, on the Patreon and the Buy Me a Coffee, I just put that post and I put that Dropbox link, and it's for the podcast supporters. And you can go and you can download that at your discretion and use it however you want to use it. And I'll be having more of them in the future. I think once I memorize the Sermon on the Mount, I may do the book of Ephesians. I'd love to memorize the book of Ephesians. Maybe Galatians. I don't know. Ephesians sounds good. I like Ephesians. Anyway, so that's all I've got here with you folks. Support the podcast. Share the content. Subscribe at Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. Other than that, stay strong. Keep the faith. Don't be intimidated. God's on your side. Preach the truth in love of the truth. Never back down. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations, and we'll catch you on the flip side.